listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Time and time again, I be thinking about that future. Back in the day when we were slaves, I bet we were some cool ass niggas. Now we vulture stay up, send my nigga back out to make his ass black out, or even pull that fucking head to make his whole crew believe us. You harder than a bitch full of dicks. But that, see, that don't sound like clean shit to me. Shit ain't right. See, now in the ghetto, or I should be saying Lakewood. You better be strapped, cause them niggas over there just ain't good. Just being a hustler, serving loyal customers. Rent was due the first of the month, so I'm hustling. I buy my 50 box of Phillies at the Sicko, and the nigga be wanting drinks, shit from the fucking stove. Yo. Alright. Hey, welcome
to
the
Black this?
I don't know. Welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
A sad, somber Super Bowl loss Monday.
Yeah.
So if you are black and Cam Newton lost yesterday, there will be an extra 2 weeks of winter. I'm sorry, guys. We saw our shadows yesterday. And it is what it is. Now, the good news is, we are used to losing as black people, so we'll be fine. You know, it was,
oh, we'll be fine.
I believe the all time score, of white people versus black people in the race war is, something like, infinity to three. I think we got Russell Wilson, he counts for half, Doug Williams. So that's two. And then we have Obama. So, you know, hey, not bad.
No, not bad.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't bad, you know. So let's, count our blessings where we can. And of course, you know, we all know who won the Super Bowl. Beyonce.
So, yeah.
You know, we knew that was going in. We knew that she would destroy and slay. So she did. I mean, it was a blowout. Coldplay was just
I ain't stand a chance.
Yeah, you know, Coldplay needed some PEDs. Cause it really was, I mean, the Beyonce show, everybody was just waiting for her to come out. Bruno Mars showed up, and that was cool.
That was cute.
Like, I felt like they needed a mediator between going from the stark whiteness of Coldplay to the stark blackness of Beyonce and her black Panthers contingent of dancers.
Yeah, honey, she was so high five. She was like, fuck it, I'm gonna stump on the field.
It was like her performance was brought to you by Afro Sheen and Chicken Grease,
Shea Butter.
Right, it was brought to you by Bad Credit and Baby Shoes, because that shit was so black. Like, anytime you see a performance and you already are like, oh, they not gonna like this. Like, oh, yeah. That's how it felt. Like, soon as she hit the field, I said, oh no, they not gonna like this. They don't.
She came with her militant outfit on.
Look, she had the Michael Jackson, like, homage joint on, but it's like almost like a leotard type thing.
Right.
And it looked like an X, like Malcolm X.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
All her girls are dressed like Black Panthers.
Oh, it was beautiful.
I said, this is the blackest shit ever.
Yeah, she wasn't playing with y'all.
She fired her whole management team before the fucking Super Bowl started.
Oh shit.
Including her cousin. I don't know what they did either.
She was like, look, I got criticized for that Coldplay.
I feel like one of them was just like, Beyonce, I'm not trying to be problematic, but I feel like what you about to do might be a little too black. And she said, you know what, everybody get out, can I have the room? And that means everybody leaves, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that she bought the room. That also means that wherever she's at, that room now belongs to her.
Yeah, is she officially paid for everything in the room?
Yeah, she got a new management team and everything, man. They about to get black as fuck. I guess they about to ride this black feminism wave all the way to the top, and you know what, I'm here for it.
I am here for it too. I think that they was talking about it in the chat, and I didn't think about it. At the end of the Super Bowl, Beyonce was like, oh, okay, y'all didn't pay me to be here, but you know what? Yeah, I'm going on tour in a few days, so I hope y'all went ahead and got y'all changed together.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it wasn't just into the Super Bowl, Karen. Into halftime,
right?
The formation tour was announced.
Right.
Like, her halftime performance happened which was supposed to be Coldplay's performance.
Yes!
And it ended with an announcement for her tour.
Right.
Nigga.
And then they're talking about chat room. So when you gonna drop that album, Beyonce? Because you going on tour, so I guarantee you it's an album coming. If we, you know, I just, please just be nice as you was with this time and don't drop it at like 1 or 2 in the morning.
Look, she gonna drop it when she feel like dropping it.
I know, but one good thing about, see, we got a partnership here. One good thing about you, I love it. I trained you very, very well. Two things are gonna happen. Either you gonna wake me up, or you gonna download it all while I'm sleeping, and I'm gonna have it in the morning. Either way, I'm happy.
Yeah, well, I'll make sure to take care of you. You know, gotta do what I gotta do. But
yeah, because I will not be happy if it's going on and I ain't got it, so I can't live to like, tweet the album at work.
Yeah, her dancers took a picture. Justice for Mario Woods, with the black fist in the air, and she started her performance with the black power fist in the air. I said, hold up, man. By the way, most impressive shit about all this, she did all that shit in heels. The Panthers couldn't play right in cleats.
Come on now.
She went in there and danced in heels, got on that stage, almost fell at one point, recovered before she could fall.
Right. She was like, oh, no, won't be no fumbling here.
She hit the black power move on Gravity. Even Gravity was like, I'm sorry, Beyonce. Got this.
My bad. It didn't mean to make you fuck up, but you know how we do, honey. She bounced that shit off and kept that shit rolling like it was part of the routine.
Man, all them beautiful different shades of black women just like glowing on the field with them afros and the black berets and legs shining like pennies that you just got fresh from the bank. Like, that shit was amazing.
I mean, picture's beautiful.
Yes, it was like, honestly, that was like, other than the time where she just did the performance by herself, you know. I mean, obviously Destiny Child got to be there for a second, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Other than the time that it was just her and she used all the power in the city, this was amazing. Like, I really was so proud and happy and excited, it was so fun.
And that's her mom in the middle, ain't it?
Yeah, that's Miss Knowles.
Yeah, and on top of that, I bet you Beyonce was like, I don't care if you bitches ever invite me back to Super Bowl again. I'm doing this performance.
Yeah, I mean, obviously no more black people at the Super Bowl. That's fine, but it was worth it.
And wasn't it, though?
You know, this will probably be our last time getting to do something like this.
Bruno Mars from here on out, y'all.
Roger Goodell was looking like, can't take these motherfuckers anywhere. Mm-mm. But I don't care, man. She had, and then like, it was so fun, the dance off between her and Bruno Mars.
That was fun.
You know, and people was trying to say that he won it and stuff. But then when she slapped that camera towards the audience, I felt like she just took it all the way back. So, but yeah, it was amazing, man. She's such a star. And so good at what she does,
and
you know.
So black.
So even if Cam Newton let us down, we still got to see black excellence on the field.
We did.
Although we did see some black excellence in that Denver defense. I mean, them niggas was real.
They was trill, wasn't they?
They was getting through the Panthers offensive line like they were Bernie Sanders fans on Twitter. And somebody said, you know, every time Bernie talks about supposed to talk about race, he talks about the economy. It felt like that. Like, that's how they was on Cam's ass.
And you can tell that somebody watched video, because number 73 was the problem for the Atlanta game and the reason why Cam got sacked. And every time Cam got sacked, it was number 73.
Yeah, Michael Orr couldn't, I mean, you know, obviously he couldn't do what he needed to do for that game. But it was also funny, too, because, like, one time I saw them sack Cam and they said, did you know Sanders marched with Martin Luther King? And I said, god damn, even here, that's how they getting through.
Even here,
they found out the one way you can't stop them, you can't block that. I was trying to block them this morning, they was getting around my blocks. Went to my phone, they were still talking bad about me.
They was like, nope.
That's all. All of those Denver dudes are gonna vote for Sanders, and that makes them unblockable, man. Can't get through it. Anyway, this is the Blackout Tips. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Blackout Tips, leave us 5-star reviews, and we'll come up when you leave the 5-star reviews, if we like them, we'll read them on the show on Saturday. Why not? If we don't like them, we'll pretend it never happened.
Yep.
All right. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. Also, shout out to my niece who played, we went to go see her play basketball yesterday.
That was a fun trip. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, it was fun to watch, little girls go out there and compete against each other. Now, last week, I hear she won MVP.
Mm-hmm.
This week, you know, she did score a couple buckets, but she did not win MVP, but she had fun playing. And I did promise her I would teach her how to undercut people when she was ready for the lesson. So she's going to get back to me on that. And then, I'll teach her how to take these little girls' legs out, man. Somebody got to do it.
No. One thing I enjoyed about watching the little girls play is several things. Some of them girls was out there literally balling, like balling like the boys do. When I mean balling, the boys do, they ball fearless. Like, they were just putting up shots. Fuck it. If it go in, it go in. If it don't, it don't. Like, they was out there like, I'm going to give. And their coach was excellent because they be doing stuff and because they're in the learning process. So the coach would be coming over there. He'd be like, hey, you know, if you do this, they don't call a foul during the game. like
yeah, well, what I liked about it was honestly just from the times that we watched them over the last year or so is how much more confident and fun everything's gotten for them.
Yeah,
and,
so much more fun.
You know, I think we socialize girls to not be competitive in the ways that boys are,
or
like
aggressive.
Physically and, well, not just aggressive, because it's like women can be aggressive in a certain light where it's okay, like physical appearance, you know, behavior, like certain shit we let women be competitive in, quote unquote, where we want to guide them into those areas. But sports is one of those areas where a lot of times we try to act like it's the opposite of femininity, and to see those little girls especially become confident, because the thing that mattered to me the most was watching them try and fail and try again, because our society really punishes women for failure.
Yes, they do.
With this, like, you know, this, like, what the fuck were you even doing trying some shit you ain't had no business doing? Like, it's very harsh on women's failures. So to see especially little girls not have to be perfect, but to understand that the fun is in attempting to do the thing that you were scared to even try. Because I remember when I first watched them, it's like everyone was scared to shoot.
They were scared to get the ball.
Right,
it was
everyone
hilarious.
Was scared to play defense. It's like, well, what if I shoot and it don't go in? It's like, little boys, we don't really necessarily get that lesson. The lesson is like, no. You know you have to keep shooting. That's just part of the game. And hey, maybe you'll make it. Be optimistic about your shit. And little girls are like, be pessimistic. Don't try shit you don't know if you can do. Be quiet and sit still. You know,
yeah,
like,
and shut up. And it's one of those things where, in general, we, society, caters women to, boyfriends and marriage and like your life is your child, your life is your husband, like that's a life goal versus being a doctor or a lawyer or a scientist and all that shit. Like, that shit is secondary. First, get a family. And it's like, you need to find out who you are before you get any of this shit. But we kind of pressure them into that subconsciously a lot of times. People don't even realize that's what they are kind of catering their little girls to do. Because I remember earlier when we, not this time, but when we watched her play during one of her previous seasons, it was one little girl. That little girl didn't belong there. That little girl was jacking up threes like a boss. And what was happening, she was barely missing them. But it didn't matter. She kept jacking them up. And I was like, that little girl don't belong here.
Well, she moved up to the next level.
Right.
Because it was obvious it was time for her to go, because she had already achieved that confidence and shit. Like, she needed to be working on just, like, straight-up skills and balling against older girls that are kind of in the same lane, or just older kids in general, you know.
Right,
like,
to challenge
she could probably
her.
Play with the boys. But, yeah, it was you know, it was cool. And the main thing I like, too, is that the pressure on the kids is just totally different. I think, especially in, like, middle class, lower middle class, or like really black communities, sometimes we put so much pressure on kids to be good at sports that it sucks the fun out. And in general, people take sports entirely too fucking seriously.
Yes.
It's one of the reasons I'm sure a lot of people get frustrated with me, but it's also one of the reasons people like our sports show, is because it's not that fucking serious, man. Like, people were very upset today after the Super Bowl, you know, because people were rooting for Cam and, you know, at the end of the game, they had like a press conference, mm-hmm. and he left the press conference after giving like some World War answers to some questions because they lost, and also because he happened to be like in the same room that they were giving the press conference at the same time for the defensive MVP. I don't know why they would do that, but
right.
you know, and that guy was obviously talking some trash and whatnot, and it's, you know, which is fine. I mean, nobody's getting on that guy for talking shit. He won.
Right.
But people try to turn it into this huge, like, Cam Newton left and da 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 da, and it's so, you know, like, he doesn't care and all this shit, and he's not a real leader and he needs to grow up and shit. And to which my response is a couple of things. One, he's a 26-year-old dude.
Right.
He did the same thing a lot of quarterbacks have done at older ages, such as Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
Right. And Peyton Manning didn't even go
shake hands.
Right. Right. He fucking left the field.
But we just didn't make a big deal of it then. Right. And when people are making a big deal of it now, but in the aggregate, it's not a big deal. Like,
nope.
I'm not getting upset about it because literally in, say, a week, 2 weeks, nobody will care. I remember when LeBron James didn't shake the Orlando Magic's hands when he lost to Dwight Howard. It was a huge deal for 48 hours. And then it meant nothing. It'll never be part of his legacy. It'll never come up again. Nobody's going to bring it up at his Hall of Fame induction.
Right.
It's meaningless at this point.
Yes, sir.
Cam's job is to win football games, and he'll make it meaningless sooner or later. The thing that I thought was funny about it, and I ended up talking to a guy through like direct message today because he was on my thread on Facebook, kind of, and it wasn't just him, there's a few people being rude, you know?
Rude.
Yeah, being rude about the fact that people were like, yeah, I'm not holding it against Cam, and I understand.
Right.
And there was a couple kind of guys I saw. Like, first two guys I played ball with, Mike and Lance, they were like, he's so rude, and you know, this is sports, and I'm a coach, and you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to be a leader and be a man. Listen, I don't know what it is about Facebook that make niggas forget that you know them.
In real life.
But I had to be like, y'all are two of the worst sports I play basketball with. Both of y'all. Like, it's ironic to me that y'all would even begin to bring this up. One of them I saw threatened to beat a dude up over basketball, you know, and when we lose, he never stops talking. He walked on the court before, he's stood in the middle of the court so the next game couldn't happen. These are grown men. This didn't happen 20 years ago. These are grown men going on 40, if not 40 already, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, nigga, this is like last week. You can't be serious. You can't expect me to take you serious about Cam Newton at 26 when you were 40 saying I'm not getting off the court. I'm sorry, I cannot take right. you serious. The other guy, we have a Christmas basketball tournament. Once again, I don't take it serious. I have a little fun, then I leave. I've never put a goal of winning the tournament because I think it's stupid. It doesn't matter, all the money goes to charity and it's just for bragging rights,
right?
But these motherfuckers do take it serious, right? Right. So one of the dudes lost to a team with a guy on it that he doesn't like. And when the guy beat him, he tried to squash the beef by going up and saying, hey man, good game, Lance. Thanks. And he refused to shake his hand, wouldn't speak to him, told him, get away from you, cussed at him and left. That was, what is this February?
Mm-hmm.
That was 2 months ago, Karen.
Yeah, people forget their 60
behavior.
60
days.
Right. Right. And I guess my thing with this is,
hold up. These are black men. I just want people to understand. These are black men.
Right.
They're not, it's not even just race.
Mm-mm.
It's hypocrisy.
Right.
People, I'm going somewhere with this, but go ahead and say what you want to say.
You go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, it's hypocrisy. I know these niggas for a fact. And I brought it up to them. Like, I've seen y'all do much worse. Like y'all aren't even, and it's like, well, it's different. He's a professional. I said, no, it's not different. Sportsmanship is sportsmanship. If you can't do it at the YMCA, then maybe somebody's not going to do it at the Super Bowl. You know, not to mention, he didn't threaten to kill nobody. He didn't cuss at the players and tell them get off the field. like, you guys did way worse shit. He just didn't want to do that press conference and left early when the other guy was talking. Okay. And there's video of this and everything, right? So then another dude, like I said, and these guys were being kind of, you know, really sanctimonious about it, right? And people were arguing with them and stuff, but I know them. And one person was calling like one of them an idiot and shit. I was like, hey, I know these people. Can you stop? Like, this is my personal page. Yeah, like, I need y'all to relax a bit.
Right.
Like, even in their anger, I still have empathy for them, and I still understand, in my opinion, what I really believe is the problem. And there was another guy that was getting into it with Aaron from Black Astronauts Podcast, and
okay,
Aaron basically, like, the guy said his opinion, which is that Cam should have stayed with the press conference, and he laid it right down. Okay, cool. Aaron said, hey man, I don't understand the people that are saying, well, he was dabbing on them, so he can't, well, why ain't he doing that when they lose, you know? Because he was like, you know, he's sad, he lost, like, what, it wouldn't even fucking make sense to be enthusiastic about the loss. He's taking it to heart just like everybody else that takes a big loss, right? And the guy kind of he responded to Aaron and all this stuff, and Aaron wasn't responding to him, so, and said, well, if you like Richard Sherman, do you probably one of them people like Richard Sherman, and now you saying this. And I said, well, you don't know Aaron,
right? You don't know nothing about him.
You don't know that Aaron said that or not, you know, not to mention that that's not necessarily correlated, like,
right,
saying Richard Sherman is not a thug for talking shit after that football game isn't the same as saying it's okay to talk shit after a football game, or saying that it's good sportsmanship. It's not the same, but, you know, whatever. So right. The guy direct messages me, because I was like, that's very rude, man, and, you know, don't do it on my page, really.
Right.
Like, I don't mind people disagreeing, but you don't have to be rude. He gave his opinion, you gave your opinion. It really, that should have been the end of it. Like, you're not going to get everybody to agree on this.
Mm-mm.
So the guy direct messages me and was like, I'll disagree with me. I was being rude. And I told him, like, this is how you're being rude. He's like, you know what? My bad. He apologized, right? But then we got into this other conversation that I think is at the core of a lot of the shit with a lot of black men who are, like, upset with Cam Newton. And I think for a lot of them, you know, they work in environments, you live in environments where white supremacy abounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is just something we have to deal with. All of us deal with it. I even made the joke that, you know, white people can't come to work tomorrow if we win, you know, like, if black people win, everybody got called out, you know, because people always want to vent. We always want that cathartic release. We believe that there's these milestones that will be achieved, and then there will be irrefutable proof of our humanity and our equality. That's not Cam Newton's job.
Mm-mm.
And it's not your job, and it's not my job. It's nobody's job to fix racism but people that benefit from and navigate those systems.
Right.
That's it. No matter what Cam Newton did yesterday, win or lose, the people that don't like him would have found something wrong with him. There was, like, that's not the goal or purpose of any of this. The only thing I root for black people is to be our truest, most authentic, best black ass selves. That's it. I don't have, like, when I get on this mic, like, he was like, you know, I listen to y'all's podcast and Elon's podcast, and y'all are trying to do so much to work. I was like, no. I'm not doing anything to try to fix white supremacy. I'm having my happiness on this mic, doing the what I feel is my calling to the best of my ability. That's it. That's all the responsibility I'm taking on. There's no respectability here. There's no as a black person I have to work twice as hard to get half as much. There's none of that here. Only thing that I'm about here, and I hope we can all get there, is being the best, truest Rod I can be. That's it. Like, if you're waiting for the right quarterback to win the Super Bowl because you think your white coworkers or white supremacy in general will recognize that person and then go, by extension, black people, you now have this equal humanity, this empathy. I understand now what you guys go through. That shit ain't happening. it doesn't matter if you're excellent or not. It doesn't matter if you're President Obama or if you're Bobby Shmurda, who's been in jail 418 days. It doesn't matter. It's all the fucking, like, at the end of the day, white supremacy and racism justifies itself. The same way that Oprah doesn't erase sexism, right? The same way, Michael Sam would have made it, people wouldn't have been like, oh, well, yeah, gay athletes, obviously everybody's equal. It's not a problem in the locker room anymore. People still would have had a problem with it because you want to solve something institutional from an individual achievement platform for one person in the marginalized category. It's impossible. That's not how you fix any of this shit. So I know a lot of people wanted to have that moment, and I think a lot of black men feel somewhat let down by Cam Newton, and they're kind of upset because, like I said, it's a hypocrisy thing where many of these black men are not examples of the things that they would like him to uphold in the first place. You know, I saw Deion Sanders had a problem with Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. Prime time, pour a bucket of water on a journalist and tell him to cool down. Prime time. A guy we call Primetime, had a problem with Cam Newton's histrionics on the field or his attitude during a loss. That, like, it's at this point, it's just hyperbole, it's just rhetoric, and it's just funny to me. You know what I mean? Because it's not that fucking serious. Like, I think the thing that people want to hear is, well, let me admonish him because he didn't do things the right way. But everything about him, including his dabbing, including this not giving a fuck about this press conference thing, is 100% authentic to who he is.
Right.
I remember I played a quote on Balls Deep, and it's when people got excited because he said, well, people never seen anything like me before. I'm a black quarterback. And people were like, that's the only part people heard was black quarterback. But I kept listening, and I played the whole clip on Balls Deep, and one of the things he said was, I didn't change. Teddy Ginn didn't change. None of the, like, this is the same Teddy Ginn on our team. This is the same Cam Newton. The only thing that changes, we're winning. That's it. Because people were trying to write these narratives of, he's matured, he's become a different person, you know. And I remember people being like, well, he sulks when he loses. Well, you know how he fixed that? He stopped losing.
Right.
It, like, he didn't become a new person. We tried to ascribe all these heroic ideals onto him that we describe as heroic, that he seems to not give a fuck about. And to me, that's why I love that dude. Mm-hmm. It was like, to me, it's never just been about like, oh, he's acting the right way. I like him because he acts the fucking authentic real way. And if you don't like it, then it's on you.
Yep.
Like I love that he smiles when he's frustrated. You know what I mean? I love that dude plays football the way he wants to. I love that when the guy asked him the question about, well, what about being a black quarterback and, you know, scrambling from the pocket and, you know, and not being able to play from the pocket, he's like, that's been broken. That's a stereotype that's been broken. That's not on me, that's on you. Like, you gotta figure out why you still believe that bullshit, but we all know it's not true. So what you want me to say, you know? Like, I like that shit about him. So he's young, team is young. I think they'll be fine, they'll be back. You gotta get lucky, of course, to make it to the Super Bowl. And hopefully they get lucky again, you know, like, some things break the right way and people stay healthy and all that stuff. But like I said, I feel encouraged off of it. But one thing I just never believed in, and I'm almost surprised to see, especially black people still buying into that, but Cam Newton winning the Super Bowl wasn't gonna solve racism, guys.
No.
And your coworkers that don't like him, we're gonna find another way to not like him, win or lose. Like, maybe you would have felt better because you would have been able to say, well, he won, so I don't care that you don't like him. Hey, man, you don't need him to win to feel that way. You get to call him to work and be like, I don't give a fuck what you think about that dude. Period.
We don't do that with white people. We just don't. If Peyton Manning would have lost, man, people would have still held him as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time with three Super Bowl losses. It just would have been what it is. People, look at Dan Marino. People still act like he is golden. Mm. Never won a Super Bowl.
Don't matter.
Yeah, it's fine. Like at some point, you got to take the extra pressure off of blackness, because it also puts this limitation on blackness, and it's just whack. And black people, we shouldn't participate in that, because we know it's a rigged game, you know. So when I saw black men getting angry, that's what I looked at. And I'm not even mad at those people. I'm empathetic to those people, because I feel like, especially the older school ones, we were taught this paradigm of like, work a certain way, achieve a certain level, and suddenly racism will stop and people will understand mm-hmm. that you are equal and that everything's fucked up, you know, and that it's not your fault. And no, that's bullshit. That it'll never happen. So, you know, maybe I'm just being cynical or pessimistic or whatever, but I feel like I'm being realistic. And that's what gives me the freedom to go find my own happiness, is that I don't believe there's a day coming where the fucking white supremacy recognizes this magical moment of humanity and shit because we won the Super Bowl, or because the president is black, or you know, whatever. Like, it's just not gonna happen. So I'm fine with that. They're gonna kill us in the streets whether Cam wins or not. So to put all that extra pressure on a game is patently ridiculous to me. You know, like, sports is fun because it doesn't matter. That's why sports is fun to me. So I just don't take it that serious. Anyway, but yeah, it was a good conversation, man. I feel like me and that guy came away with an understanding, I hope. And he said he listened to the show and everything. I was like, you know, let's have a sportsmanship on Facebook that y'all guys want out of camera at that press conference, because a lot of people were being very weird towards other people who just didn't have a problem with Cam. And it's like, where's your sportsmanship? You know, don't try to talk shit now, you know, especially to me. I don't know why anybody would ever talk sports shit to me. I am 100% out of everybody else's mentions and shit when sports is going on. Like, if you don't like my team, I don't talk to you about it.
Right.
If you're rooting for somebody, I don't tell you why I don't like that person.
Nope.
I've been doing this shit for years at this point. Anybody that says different is lying.
I know it's so.
Or they're my friend, and me and my friends fuck with each other like that. But very rarely, never via social media, really. Normally when me and my friends talk shit, it's either in person or on the phone or something. I just don't operate that way. I don't know y'all to be arguing with y'all over sports like that. And I also don't care that much. You know what I mean? So I don't want to have a big ass argument about some shit I don't care about, you know, cause I do care about someone being disrespectful or being a jerk towards me. And I will get you up out of my face for that. But in general, if you're a Saints fan, I'm not going to come into your mentions talking about, oh, I fucking hate the Saints. You know what I mean? Like, I hate that shit. Like, why? Yeah. I can just keep it to myself.
Right. And people do that all the time. It's one of those things, but nigga, I didn't ask you that. Why are you over here, dog? Please don't bother me.
Yeah. Anyway, good luck with that, man. I hope y'all beat white supremacy. It won't be this year if you're waiting on the Super Bowl.
No. It's not gonna happen.
Oh, man. But anyway, speaking of white supremacy being upset, they were mad at Beyonce for her quote-unquote anti-police Super Bowl halftime show.
And there's not one word in her song that says this.
Nope.
And honestly, it's not one piece of the video that even states that.
You want to know what's so funny, Karen? You know what counts as anti-police in her video? Saying stop shooting us. Let that sink in for a second. Beyonce is anti-police because she wants police officers to stop shooting black people. Well, how is that anti-anything? To say stop shooting us. Your job is not to shoot us. That's not your job. Mm-mm. That's not your right. You know, but the problem is what she's saying really hits at the underlying principle of police enforcement in this country, mm-hmm. which is that it's the byproduct of police enforcement, if not the driving factor, is this idea that you can take the lives of Black folks.
Yeah, killing us is just the cost of doing business.
Yeah.
Killing brown people is the cost of doing business.
And if you say something about that, then obviously you hate the police.
And that's not true.
Even as a Black person, if you say, hey, stop shooting us. And you know why they are so mad at Beyonce? Because they tried to grant her the exceptional Negro status.
Right.
It's, hey, you're entertaining to us. White people, especially white men, have this thing where you're one of the five Black women they can say is attractive.
Right.
And it doesn't count against them. You know, it's their, hey, I like a Black chick, Beyonce, and Beyonce took that shit and smushed it in their motherfucking face and said, I'm Black as shit. I got hot sauce in my bag. Swag. You know, like, I'm all this money is not going to stop me from being Black. It's not going to stop me from caring about Black people and Black shit and the things that are happening to us.
Right. It's not going to stop me from watching the same television that everybody else is watching, watching these same news stories, watching this shit and feeling my heart being broke over it.
You're not giving my money to these causes. You know, talking about it in my music, you're not gonna stop me. You know, I feel like it's just another part of her evolution, mm-hmm. whether it be the calculated capitalist version of it where people are just like, she's just riding the wave, or whether it's just her growing up and going more into herself, becoming more and more of a confident person and more of an individual. Because, you know, a lot of people wouldn't appreciate their music as necessarily feminist. Even though I feel like there was definitely feminist undertones for a long time, but until she actually said it herself.
Right.
And then it was like, oh, well, okay. Well, now you've grown into that. This is your Beyonce feminism. You know, this is your you standing on it. And, you know, she took all kinds of slings and arrows for that and people that don't like her and all this stupid shit. But the point being, she grew into that. And I think you do have to grow into those roles, because part of growing means you have to grow into the criticism that's going to come with those things. Mm-hmm. And I bet you a lot of the backlash from white women over her version of feminism and the things that she believes in definitely led her to this point where she's embracing like Black feminism on top of that, you know, where it's like, okay, yep, well, y'all really ain't gonna like this shit. You know what I mean? Like, y'all ain't like that shit? Okay. let's go a step further, you know?
Yeah, because also people better realize Beyonce, people act like Beyonce, especially in the industry that she's in, does not have to deal with racism.
Right.
And she acts like before she became quote unquote Beyonce, that she didn't have to deal with anything. And she probably, even though she's Beyonce, there's certain things that she probably still has to deal with when it comes to racism. But she's at a place of power where she go, oh, you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like she'll put you out for being racist and just get you out the way. And it's just one of those things where money buys a lot of shit. So it could be people around you that even if they are like that, they'll never say it to her face because they're like, I don't want to lose my job because she's paying me.
Yeah, I'm sure Stacey Dash hated it. Hated her performance. Woman on our Facebook page says, the wife of a police officer, I'm offended by this entire video. Why? Because the police put their hands up after a little Black kid danced in front of them?
Right.
That pissed you off? Police car drowning in the flood waters of New Orleans? That pissed you off? What pissed you off about it? What did she say that was so fucked up? Because what I heard was a lot of Black women power. A lot, you know what I mean? What I heard was a lot of Blackness that you probably don't understand, and how dare something be made not for you.
And that's what a lot of the anger is. How dare you make something, you Black Negro, that is not centered around me. They treat entertainers the same way they treat football players. Just get out there and fucking dance and tap dance and sing about neutral shit. We don't give a fuck about your opinion. Don't be making these social statements when other people are allowed to make social statements all the time.
Rudy Giuliani went on Monday's Fox and Friends to trash Beyonce. At the end, we find out Beyonce dressed up in a tribute to the Black Panthers, went to a Malcolm X formation, and the songs, the lyrics, which I couldn't make out a syllable, were basically telling cops to stop shooting blacks.
Because you didn't fucking listen.
Right. You couldn't even make out a syllable. That was what Fox host Brian Kilmeade said. So, yeah, they mad, and that shit just make me happy. Fuck them. Keep making your black ass art, Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep making your art, because as much as they complain, you know what? Your concert's going to be goddamn sold out.
Mm-hmm.
They going to be paying you mad.
Yep. Speaking of which, contracts that are between I think it's like the police unions and the cities and whatnot are written to ensure that police officers and their misconduct records are kept hidden by design.
Of course, because they know if that shit came out public, people would demand they goddamn do better. And on top of that, not only I think this, white people would demand that they do better. And that's what you don't want. Because the thing about white supremacy is that you want white people to be as blind and as ignorant. Because when they're blind and ignorant, they think the status quo is okay. But once you start opening their eyes and realize that their children can be shot, and just like our children can be shot, no charges pressed against them, you don't have any rights, they pay you off. They treat white people just like they treat black people, but.
Well, white people won't care until they think it can happen to them. That's
right.
That's not necessary. Them knowing about this doesn't mean anything unless they find out in here that it's happening to their kids as well.
Right. But white children do die. But like I say, it's one of those things.
But not enough for them to care, Karen.
That's
kind of why the police are allowed to do what they want to do.
Percentage wise,
it's just not enough.
Yeah, not enough for them to care, because it's one of those things. Well, hey, this can't directly affect me and mine, so I don't care.
Yeah, when they're killing more people than, you know, dying in the Iraq war and shit, then they'll give a fuck, you know?
Correct.
Other deals contain provisions focused on blocking public access to records that were preserved. A 2006 to 2008 contract from Burlington Township, New Jersey, for example, required the police department's commander to keep formal complaints and internal investigation documents in a locked file, barring access to all except the department investigations commander and chief law enforcement officer. Similarly, in Ralston, Nebraska, from 2009 to 2012, the FOP, Fraternal Order of Police, contract created Police Officers' Bill of Rights, which said, unless agreed to by the officer, the city shall not divulge the reason for any disciplinary action that is not appealed to the Civil Service Commission. The city was also bound to make every reasonable effort to prevent a photograph of the officer from being released to the public or news media. This all means that even if an officer were investigated by his own department for beating people up or being a little too trigger happy, the press would not be allowed access to the records implicating him. Worse yet, in some states like New York, the destruction or sealing of records by police departments is kind of a moot point. Even if a department's contract did not order the records to be destroyed and it decided to make them available, a notorious exemption in our state's freedom of information law would legally bar them from doing so. So, yep, police contracts mean they can just kill people. The job means you can't, that part of it is they get to cover it up.
Right, that's how people can go from department to department to department to department, and then finally kill somebody. And they'll be like, hey, you've been doing this shit for 45 years. Everybody goes,
which is
what?
Which is so weird, right? Because whenever you talk about police, people always say, well, not all cops are bad cops. To which I'm like, that's not actually a retort to the problem that people have with policing.
Right.
The problem, the question should be, why is any level of bad cops allowed or seen as acceptable? There should be zero tolerance policy on bad police officers.
Right.
If we're going to have that type of, because whenever somebody does get shot, we run straight to a zero tolerance policy on their life. So if I get shot by police, I can't smoke weed. I could have never had a prior criminal record. I could have never had anything sketchy happen in the past. I should have never been in a juvenile. Yeah, like I need to have every fucking thing in a row for me to be, you know, I can't even have a Facebook picture throwing my middle finger up.
Right.
You know, I can't do any of that shit or else I deserve to be killed. We do not do this with police officers. A police officer can have many prior situations that are questionable. He can have a questionable hiring history. He could have been rejected from another police department but put onto the force in Cleveland.
Right.
And we still, like, that, none of that is enough for people to go, maybe this guy overstepped his bounds and needs to go to jail. None of it, none of that's enough.
Maybe
it's never
he shouldn't
enough.
Be an officer.
None of that's enough. You know, it's always some reason that that's not enough. So yeah, I, you know, it's just interesting that we have such a lax way of looking at those things. Well, let's see. Here's a guy who thinks that by every measurable metric, men have it worse than women. Yep. Yeah, thought he should go on TV and relay this point.
100.
I hear you.
Well, I don't know about you, but if you're going to start drafting women, what's next? Letting them vote? Interesting. That's a joke, people. All right. Strong feelings of this.
I think they should register for the draft. Mm-hmm. I think they should get paid equally. Mm-hmm. And I think they should pick up the bill.
What's that black comedian, Kyle? I know that dude. That dude, Kyle Grooms, goes on Fox News now? Man, being a comedian trying to get a check gotta suck. I know you don't like that.
Equality all around. That makes so...
Open my door. Yeah. What else? You know, yeah. Things I do. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm tired of it, Gavin. Something tells me you're not for this.
I'm all for it.
Oh, really?
They should have to do... They want equality for everything fun. They want to be equal in movies
what?
And...
Yes, character. I want to be equal in movies.
And desserts and puppies. How about you're equal in sanitation? How about you have to go down into the sewers and remove rat kings from blocked pipes? How about you go
women
to
do do those type of jobs.
Mm-mm, Karen, women don't do those.
They do.
Only men do those jobs, Karen. I saw the paperwork.
People are dumb.
I have a thought experiment here.
Okay.
Imagine... If you don't think... Yeah, thank you, Gavin, for getting ready for this. If you don't think biology matters, what if this were reverse? That for the last couple of thousand years, only women fought the wars? And then suddenly in the 21st century, we go, you know what? We should let men get involved in the wars. And it's a gender with 50% more muscle mass and a ton more testosterone. So all of a sudden, women are like, whoa, this is weird. This is exactly what's happening in the MMA. If a fighter... A matter has a sex change and fights. The female fighters are like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this because it's unfair. Now they're talking about maybe we have to adjust the hormone levels. So the woman.
I'm not going to lie. I feel like his logic is.
What does that got to do with
stretching at best?
Right. What does that have to do with what the fuck brought up at the beginning of this article?
Yeah. Not to mention, like. War and the military are not necessarily the same thing, and the roles that different military people hold are not necessarily the same thing.
Right. And they're not all physical, because there are men that's in the army that don't do anything physical as far as go out there and fight.
Yeah, technically women have better hand-eye coordination than men.
Yeah, they do.
It's actually a proven fact, but... We don't go, well, then they should be able to fly all the fights because men want to do that shit. So, you know what I mean? Like, let's not act like everybody's just doing what their natural abilities lead them to do. Like, nah, it's more than that. There's some preference in there. There's some sexism in there, obviously.
So women and men can fight equally. So that's an interesting way to look at it that perhaps makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, in your experiment, if we're going to do that, we'll have to talk to President Hitler, because if women were soldiers for the past 100 years, we would have lost World War II.
We probably wouldn't have been embroiled in half as many wars, which is another good point. Women are not naturally war makers as are many men.
What about pagan days? All they're doing was sacrificing days and virgins.
You know, the sneaky tactic.
Yo, that's so weird. That dude wants it both ways. Cause he wants to be like, women are warmonger evil, but then they also would have lost all the wars to Hitler. Which, by the way, completely goes against the original thought experiment was women would be fighting for Germany as well, right? Like, women would be the ones fighting the wars on both sides, so why would you say they would have lost to Germany but somehow men would have won against other men? I don't get it.
But just because women are drafted also doesn't necessarily mean they're going to the front lines in combat. As you know, as Joe pointed out, there's millions of different roles they can serve in the military. It doesn't mean they have to be commanders.
There's
looking after soldiers' kids, keeping the home nice.
But then men could be cheerleaders too, right?
Yeah, I suppose.
You need someone at the bottom of the pyramid.
Exactly. So. They need those guys at the bottom. I don't even know what that means. I think it's great. I think that, you know what it is? It's like you said, feminists want total equality. This is total equality.
Yeah. Equality sucks. By every metric, men have it worse off. We're more likely to get raped if you include prison. We're more likely to be assaulted. We're more likely to die. We're more likely to commit suicide.
And you're
so
not
if you
want
to come over to our side of it, then get ready for some rough times.
I will dispute the rape part, but I will say this. Industrial accidents, true. People who build bridges generally are men, and they often fall off them. I get that. You know, that happens. And
I just can't believe this is on TV. Like, they clearly didn't prep for anything. They don't need facts for any of this.
Oh,
they,
who needs that?
None of these people are experts. it's just four people on the couch and one dude behind a desk just talking.
Right.
And this
is what you get when you have to have, 24-hour news. You run out of shit to talk about.
Yeah.
Sorry, 24, that's a very long period of time to try to have news.
Yeah. So, and then also, his facts were just not correct.
Nah, they just talking and making shit up.
Yeah. So, more men are raped in prison because the U.S. inmate population is overwhelmingly male, but women are more likely to be sexually assaulted by both prison staff and other inmates than men. So, even the in-prison part is wrong. Yep. But, you know, come on over to our side, Karen. It's tough. Mm-hmm. Speaking of women and men, the best way to get a second date is by having sushi and cocktails, guys. According to a new study, sharing sushi and cocktails on your first date increases the likelihood of a second date. Matches' sixth annual Singles in America study used data surveyed from 5,504 U.S. singles between the ages of 18 and 70, revealing the pulse of the single psyche, according to Dr. Helen Fisher. According to the study, a good bet to land a coveted second date is having a first one at a sushi restaurant. A meal of sushi increases the chances of a second date by 107%. Damn, that's a lot.
Yeah, because some people don't like sushi, but a lot of people really, really, really love and enjoy sushi.
I just wonder if it's like a class thing.
It is.
People that can afford sushi, they can go on second dates more often. They afford, right, people, or they have a better time.
That's right. People that can afford sushi, because when it comes to sushi, a lot of people won't eat it for various type of reasons. Then you have a lot of people that, you know, you take them to a sushi restaurant, they don't know what's happening. Yeah, they'd be like, "What the fuck is this? Why are we at a sushi restaurant? Why didn't you take me to Red Lobster?"
I don't know. Maybe if they're willing to put raw meat in their mouth, you know, maybe they are more risky.
Yeah, and sushi is expensive because depending on where you go and what joint, you know, one roll could be $20.
Yeah, that's what I said. It could be a class thing.
Yes.
Could just be that sushi costs more, and people that spend more on dates probably are more likely to get second dates. If you add mixed alcohol into the date, it also boosts the chances of a second date. Ordering cocktails on the first date increases the odds of a second date by 137%. Drinking beer or wine won't have the same impact. So it's got to be cocktails, you know, like mixed drinks.
Like, oh, yeah, mojitos.
Vodka cranberries and Crown and Coke and shit. The study also found that singles who use LOL and haha over text increase their odds of a match. Laughing over text increased the odds of a second date by 255% and the chances of sex with a date by 39%. Well, obviously, people that find each other funny, you know, probably fuck more.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the more uptight, less humorous people, probably not giving it up too quick.
Nope.
Whatever singles do, they shouldn't skip food and drinks on the first date. Those that do are 107% less likely to land a second date. So you gotta feed them.
Oh, so you're right. Well, let's go on a date and you don't pay for nothing. No, neither party pays for anything.
Yeah, you don't have food or drinks. Maybe you just, I don't know, meet at a coffee shop. I don't know what you do.
Right. I mean, we can go Dutch. I'm cool with that. But just like nothing. No, we're gonna have a problem. I need something to eat.
Meek Mill will get no jail time for his probation violation.
But Bobby can't get out of jail.
Good news for Meek Mill. He won't be forced to go to jail despite violating his probation. The Philly judge has given Meek 6 to 12 months in county jail, which he is allowed to serve on house arrest. He will have to do a minimum of 90 days. The bad news is that he will not be able to do his regular job. That's right, y'all. During the days, the judge will not allow Meek to rap, perform, or even release mixtapes. He can only do charitable work for the community. After 90 days, it is up to the judge to determine how much longer he will remain on house arrest. Meek will turn himself in March 1st, where he will be issued his ankle monitor.
Oh, Meek. Boy, Meek gonna get out there. He gonna be yelling at everybody.
I got this news from BallerAlert.com, so there's one comment. And the comments from hating ass Terrell Jones.
I think he thinks these things out.
He got 6 more years of probation, though. He'll never make it. I personally hope he goes to jail because of a bitch move with Drake. I actually stopped listening to Meek after he did that shit because I realized he says the same shit over and over. Like, I got a bad bitch. I got an Audemars and anything that rhymes with Rolly. Fuck Meek. And I hope they lock his ass up for good.
Oh, did he say he don't listen because he yells at you on every album?
Feel like hating ass Terrell Jones yells at you on every status he posts.
It's on all caps.
Let's talk about some politics. Bill Clinton and Bernie Sanders are on the same page, y'all.
Oh shit, what happened?
That's right. Bernie Sanders condemns his Bernie Bros follower contingent as disgusting.
Too little, too late.
Yep, but I'm glad he said something.
Me too. Bitch.
I mean, obviously he did it because they finally start harassing white women.
Right.
Let's be honest. They've been harassing niggas for over 6 months.
And nobody gave zero fucks.
Yeah. I know because I'm one of them niggas. he said, we don't want that crap. During the interview.
Look, we don't want that crap. We can't, you know, and we will do everything we can, and I think we have tried. Look, you know, that anybody who is supporting me is doing sexist things is, we don't want them. I don't want them. That is not what this campaign is about.
Yeah, I should have said this 6 months ago.
Yeah. I'm glad he said something, though.
I am
too. It needed to be said. It's been a while. But better late than never, in my opinion. Because they have been a problem for this campaign, and they continue to be a problem for this campaign, and not disavowing them is also a problem for this campaign. And I know it's a tough thing to do in a close race where you don't want to give up any votes. You would much rather just have those votes and try to ignore it. But when you have people like the Young Turks out here excusing this shit and pretending it's not happening, when you have many of his followers and fans on Twitter pretending that black people and women are making this shit up.
Come on now.
When the campaign recognizes it and it comes out of the mouth of the candidate, that shit does make a difference to me. You know, not enough for me to be like, no, it's time to go vote for Bernie, but it does make a difference because that's personal responsibility and you need to have some of that. Too often people just look at these things as like byproducts of just politics, and it's not. Like, these people need to get the fuck out of here. And I'm glad he said something.
I am too. Like I said, this is something I feel like he should have did a while ago. It's something that he should address a while ago because there are a lot of votes that he's lost forever. I think he feels like the race is too close for him to have these people run off the masses. Because this is actually probably, even though people feel like it's a lot, out of all his follow people, it's probably a really small percent, but they're so goddamn aggressive that nobody wants to be bothered.
Well, he could have made headway in the black vote months ago.
Right.
If it hadn't been for this shit. You know, the overprotective Bernie stans who harass every black person, every woman, everybody who says something about him that they don't like. they would have made it, they would definitely made headway in that contingent of people without those supporters fucking it up.
Oh yeah.
If the campaign was the only voice speaking about these things, so much shit that happens from them would be recognized as them learning lessons and moving on, as opposed to, well, can I say you learned a lesson when your fans are all up in my mentions telling me all kinds of bullshit and harassing me? No.
Right.
Well, Bill Clinton also brought it up. He decided to start attacking Bernie Sanders, since that worked so well when he did it against Barack Obama.
right.
8 years ago, which is just not a good idea. But yeah, he mocked Bernie Sanders' desire for revolution and accused Sanders supporters of, I hope you're sitting down, sexism.
Says the man who had the biggest fucking scandal ever as presidency because a woman sucked your dick in office, dog. Word.
Like real talk, man. It's like the Boltons versus the Lannisters. Like,
yes!
That's why I'm so shocked that Bernie Sanders fans keep getting so fucking upset about shit. Nobody wants to vote for either of these motherfuckers.
Mm-mm.
No black person.
Cause no, we know nobody y'all don't is care.
Like, you're turning people into passionate supporters by being dicks. And it's not for supporters of your shit. It's for supporters of the other people because they don't like you.
Right.
If you just shut the fuck up, the Clintons will do all the work for you. They'll make people remember, like, wait, didn't y'all say some fucked up shit about Obama? And how you talking about sexism when, nigga, ain't you sexist? Like,
right. They can't remember that when they too busy swatting at your fans.
Right. The other thing, though, is if I did go on Twitter and say this about Hillary Clinton, guess what? I'm not going to have 37 people in my mentions. Like, why?
Right, for 4 days.
Yeah, they don't care. They're like, okay.
Yeah, she did the shit I'm still voting for.
Per the New York Times, Clinton portrayed Sanders as hypocritical, hermetically sealed, and dishonest in a speech to Hillary supporters where when you're making a revolution, you can't be too careful with the facts, he said. Then he fully embraced the Bernie bro narrative. Mr. Clinton, most pointed remarks may have been when he took aim at Sanders supporters who, he said, used misogynistic language and attacking Ms. Clinton. He told the story of a female progressive blogger who defended Mrs. Clinton online through a pseudonym because he said the vitriol from Mr. Sanders' backers was so unrelenting. She and other people who have gone online to defend Hillary to explain why they support her have been subject to vicious trolling and attacks that are literally too profane, often not to mention sexist, to repeat. Mr. Clinton, growing more demonstrative, added that the liberal journalist Joan Walsh had faced what he called unbelievable personal attacks for writing positively about Ms. Clinton. Now, that's not saying anything he said was a lie, but
the pot calling the kettle black.
Y'all might want to fly in somebody to say that, yeah, not Bill.
No, this needs to come from somebody else's mouth.
Yeah. In 2008, he called Barack Obama's campaign the biggest fairy tale I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Fairy tale, they went on to win too, didn't they?
Yep. So, but yeah, he might want to chill out.
Just you know, like they treat women, just be quiet and be a good first man.
Yeah. Bernie Sanders fans have been banned from a certain dating app, Tinder, because they try to campaign on Tinder.
Ain't Tinder where people look for dates?
And it's not where anybody wants to feel the burn.
No.
Tinder is for fucking.
Okay, that's what I thought. Like,
hashtag feel the burn. No, thank you.
I don't want no burn because if I'm burning, you burn. That means that we need to go to the doctor and get some shots and some pills.
All right, feel the genital warts.
No.
Yeah, two women were kicked off the dating app after sending too many pro Sanders campaign messages to prospective matches.
Did they think this was okay?
I don't know. Are they gonna give you the pussy and then you promise to vote? Like, what is the What is the rule? You know what I mean? Like, what is their purpose of being there? Hey, feel the burn, vote for Bernie.
Did it hit him like spam? I know people's like, I came here for dick. What?
Yeah. Robin Gedridge, 23, from New Jersey, told Router she sent messages to 60 people a day for the past 2 weeks, asking them to text a pro Sanders number that will provide them with a volunteer link and send them campaign updates.
Shit, 60 people a day for 2 weeks.
Kelly Lent, 22, from Iowa, even bought a premium membership of Tinder so she could change her location in New Hampshire after the Iowa caucus. Both now say that Tinder accounts have been locked after people reported them for their use of the app.
Right, because you're not using it right.
What the hell is wrong with these people? What, really?
I come on here for sexual favors, not to feel the burn.
Gloria Steinem, who I believe is in the camp for Hillary Clinton, went on a racist Bill Maher show to discuss feeling the burn. She said women feel the burn because they're boy crazy.
What?
Yep. Noted feminist Gloria Steinem said young women out here voting for Bernie because they just trying to get some dick, guys.
From that old ass frumpy looking man with that coat that don't quite ever fit right, that man?
Well, it's not that simple, Karen. She says that when you're young, you're thinking, where are the boys? The boys are with Bernie.
What? You assuming all the women are straight then? No trans, no bi women.
Let's just assume they're all straight.
Okay.
What she's assuming is that all of them are voting with their pussies because they want to go fuck some dudes that happen to be into Bernie Sanders. That's what she's assuming. That's way more demeaning than even just assuming they're straight or whatever. That's like, you're literally saying women are too stupid to vote on issues. They're voting for Bernie Sanders because they want to hang out with boys. And that's the only reason. He's not an attractive candidate at all for women. And women obviously can't think for themselves, which ain't too far from what a lot of fucking men think, that hate feminists. So it's like when it's not convenient for you, women act contrary to how you would like for them to act. And they're just, those are dumb women chasing their pussies, trying to get some dick.
Right. They ain't got enough intelligence.
That's extremely disrespectful.
Yeah, it is. And if I was somebody to support her, I would be livid, because you mean to tell me I don't have the intelligence to make my own decision, not only with my boat, but with my goddamn body?
Yeah, like you said, it's heteronormative and all that shit, but
right.
I think just the idea that women just out here trying to get some dick and that's all they're thinking about. And then later in the interview, Steinem also joins Bill Maher for one of her old, supposedly disavowed pastimes, transphobia. Maher says the woman of the year, Caitlyn Jenner, has a dick. Steinem says in the highest earning female in the corporate world, Martine Rothblatt, too, was a male previously. And Maher says there are no rules anymore. So she might as well have got that in there too. Good for you, Gloria Steinem. I'm telling y'all, I'm not writing anybody in for president. I'm just putting fucking all my local offices and leaving it at that.
I'm writing Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm. See what Michelle trying to do. Yep. So Michelle make it do what it do. Cannabis tampons actually exist and they'll cure your cramps and pains. A new innovation in the medical cannabis industry may have found an all natural, highly effective way for women to treat menstrual cramps and pains.
That shit real, because some women, they can't function. Like, I know dudes don't have to deal with cramps, but cramps ain't no motherfucking joke.
Oh, I know. I've had cramps before.
It'll put your ass out of commission.
I've had Charlie horses and cramps in my leg, and let me tell you something. Mm-mm.
Right. But with them,
I can't even imagine those in my penis.
Right. And not only is you cramping, after your cramp, you gotta deal with bleeding for 3 to 7 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, I say smoke them if you got them.
Clear.
most women can agree, periods are annoying and painful. One company wants to turn painful periods into chill periods using marijuana, a drug known for medicinal as well as recreational uses. The weed capsule has been dubbed Foria Relief by the company Foria, which also launched a popular marijuana-infused sexual lubricant. The capsule is a small cocoa butter-based insert that is being marketed as a pain reliever for women's menstrual cramps. The tampon-sized vaginal suppository is blended with a 6-to-1 ratio of THC, oil concentrate, and CBD isolate, respectively. THC works by targeting the nerves to block out pain, while CBD acts as an anti-inflammatory and as an antispasmodic by treating muscle spasms that occur from menstruation and ovulation.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great idea.
Me too.
No, I think more people need to look into it because
it's natural.
Yeah, normally you're against this kind of stuff. You're pretty anti anything to the period.
I'm for this. Yeah,
it'll definitely change the conversation around periods, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know how women get added, people like, are you on your period? And now it'll be like, you come home and your girl's eating Cheetos and her eyes look red and you like, are you on your period?
Because you eat up everything in the goddamn house.
I noticed that you don't have an attitude at all. Are you on your period?
Is everything okay?
You must be on your period. You want Taco Bell at 4 a.m, you must be on your period, girl. Come on. Let's do it. All right, let's get into our game segments. I think we've covered all the news that happened. Let's see. We can start with fucking with black people. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with
black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go around the globe and get articles about black people and assign point scores from 0 to 100 and intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. Up first is a oldie but goodie. You guys know and love her, Stacey Dash.
She back in the house for what?
She was talking about on her blog, she was talking about Joseph Fiennes being cast to play Michael Jackson and that she's happy that he got the job, the white man playing Michael Jackson. She noted that many of her fellow black commentators are angered by the decision. She says, but I say bravo. I'm sick and tired of being told, sorry, Stacey, this is a Caucasian only role, she said. Counterintuitively, this decision by Hollywood, which looks like a diss to blacks, is actually what we've been saying all along. Roles should not be based on color. What a beautiful dummy. Just a dummy. The white people playing black people role has never not been okay.
No, they
Hollywood has never said, well, we can't make this person of color white.
Shit, they'll erase an all black cast, something that black people made to make it all white if they want to. They don't care.
Gods of Egypt is nothing but white people and
it's brown people in Egypt,
right? Yeah, like Chadwick is the only nigga in there. But yet somehow Stacey Dash thinks this means progress, white people getting more black roles. Dash pointed out the example of the musical Hamilton, which cast black and Puerto Rican actors in the roles of Thomas Jefferson and Alexander Hamilton. I don't care about the race of the actors portraying historical figures, and I can't wait to see Joseph's portrayal of Jackson. It'll be amazing as long as he plays him truthfully and authentically. Well, he'll just rely on his authentic black experience, I'm sure.
Right.
I want to see more of this diversity and thinking outside the box with the equality that this designation entails. This is the right track, she concludes. 0 to 100, Karen.
100.
Yeah, I think I gotta give it 100 as well. Let's see. How about this one? Fox News host calls black people political dummies.
Yeah, because we're never intelligent enough to think on our own unless we vote for your candidate.
Hey, man. Got to start off Black History Month, right?
Black History.
Oh, they took it down. They took the video down? What? Fox News got embarrassed by something? What?
I bet you Google it or you find it. It's somewhere.
Fox News kicked out the start of Black History Month by calling some African Americans political dummies, according to Salon. Let's see. I'll do a quick search to see if we can find it. But yeah. What a dumbass thing to say. Only on Fox News, right?
Voting. Also, the start of Black History Month. Today is February 1st.
Yep, welcome to February. For years, African Americans have overwhelmingly supported Democratic candidates for president. Is there a Republican candidate this year that could cut into that support?
Here to weigh in is the editor and publisher of the conservative Black Chick blog, Crystal Wright.
Blacks have shown a slavish...
First of all...
Oh, that's GOP chick.
Could have said that up front. Of course this coon would say that.
Oh, okay. When I heard that name, I was like, oh, yeah, that's GOP.
I was like, a white person said this? Oh, no. No, farmed out the racism to... This is the only thing time they believe in farming out shit is, let's farm some racism to a Black woman. She'll say it.
Right. Her and Stacey Dash.
Yeah. Next up, Cosby's lawyer.
Support for the Democrat Party for over 50 years. And part of me wonders if the Republican Party should even bother asking for the Black vote, because Black Americans seem to like being political dummies. There's, you know, we're the only race that has voted lock, stock, and barrel for the same party for over 50 years. But isn't it funny, Steve, that when liberal run.
So white people ain't been voting for Republicans for all their lives either.
That don't count, because some of them vote Democrat. So, you know, it just depends. By the way,
and some Black people vote Republicans. So what are we talking about here?
Very few, though. But you know why? But yeah, I don't. By the way, there's no value in her saying that.
Right.
Like when people bring that up, that is more of an argument to me to how little the Republican Party has done for Black people.
Because
if the idea is, well, the Democrats barely do anything, y'all keep giving them your vote. Yeah, the other party does even less. I mean, we're not living in a mythical world where there's 17 different parties with agendas for Black people. There's two major parties and they compete for the Black vote, and one of them is opted to completely not compete for the Black vote.
Right. Don't
and they actually gain votes from white people by being anti-Black.
Right.
Since that is their platform, vis-a-vis, they don't get the Black vote. Like, it ain't fucking rocket science.
No, it's not.
But a dummy like this lady would not want Black people over there anyway, because she only makes money because she's seen as a special snowflake of Blackness.
Right.
She don't want a bunch of Black people over there thinking like her and talking like her, because then she becomes a wash in the sea of Blackness. And honestly, she was pissed just last year on Twitter at white people in her own party, because when they talked about racism and they wanted someone to say something racist, they weren't going to get her. And people on Twitter were like, oh, we finally had a breakthrough. We got through. Mm-mm. Crystal realizes that Republicans can be racist. She was only calling them racist to do what she's doing today, which is to go on TV and say Black people are political dummies.
Right. It's racist when she's not the special Negro picked.
Yeah. She just wants to be the special Negro that gets to say this shit.
A Black liberal runs like Barack Obama, they just say, okay, we'll vote for you, we'll be dumb, we'll be stupid, we're just going to keep voting for you. It's the race card, Steve. I can be a Black liberal and Black voters won't even question my policies. Isn't that pathetic?
She's not playing a race card. Everybody else is. Her entire job, they don't care about her analysis on any subject other than shitting on Black people.
Right. This only time you come on TV, dog.
Yeah, she's not exceptional in any way. She's a one-trick pony, and this is all that she has in her bag, which is, I get to say Black people ain't shit. And because she's Black, she's got a monopoly on that, quote-unquote, in her mind,
right,
with the GOP.
And you know what? We will see when Barack Obama got out of office how many Black folks they keep around. I'm going to be really interested, because we ain't got no Black president, so we ain't fucking talking about race. So why are you here?
Yeah, well, Fox News feel the need to call her up?
No, now let somebody get shot.
Zero to 100, Karen?
Oh, she get 100.
All right, sounds like 100. I'm going to give her, I'm only going to give that 75, because honestly, when she showed up, I went, oh, okay. Like, at first I was like, these motherfuckers said what? And then they were like, we're gonna go to Crystal Wright. I was like, oh yeah, that's right, the racist chick. No, God, I forgot it.
The OP black chick.
Yeah. All right, guess the race time.
Now that it's time for some guess the race.
That's right, it's guess the race time.
Now that it's time for some guess the race.
That's right, it's guess the race time. That's right, it's time for guess the race. The number one game show going across all of podcast land, where we read or play news articles from all over the globe. And we have contestants today, the chat room, to guess the race. And the chat room is racist. All right. All right. Here's story number one. Shooting sparked by dispute over snow shovel leads to arrest of a Newark woman. City police have arrested a 36-year-old city resident in connection to a dispute over a snow shovel that left one man shot in the buttocks.
Ah, shot in the butt.
Yes, Karen, in the buttocks. You know, it happens. Can't get too mad, and, you know, when it's snowing and everybody's shoveling, you know, people are going to be very upset.
Them bullets made it, them buttocks hot.
Yeah, I actually believe they have I believe we might have the audio of her shooting the man in the butt, if I can get it to play. But I think we already had her. Yeah,
play the player, pimp to pimp. I'm leaving you shoot me, nigga. Don't do it. Now I'm leaving you got in the Jay. I'm gonna get that gun, and then I'm gonna get that money. And you ain't gonna do a damn thing, because you ain't gonna shoot no cop in the back, are you?
Don't do it.
You know what they give you for that? The gas chamber. You know what the gas chamber smells like? Pine oil. That's where you headed, boy. To pine oil heaven. I'm gonna get that gun, and then I'm gonna get that money. I don't believe you got it in you, Jake. I'm gonna go get it right now.
Oh, yes! You motherfucker!
The next one will kill you.
Oh, son of a bitch! You shot me in the ass! Okay, wait. Okay. All right, lift.
I believe that's exactly how I went down, Karen. afterwards, he threatened to run everybody up to Pelican Bay. According to police reports, the 38-year-old victim told investigating officers he was using a shovel he'd found that morning to clear the driveway at an elderly neighbor's Lindsley Avenue home, where Davis confronted him. Her name was Sakira Davis. Claiming that the shovel belonged to her. According to reports, the victim returned the shovel to Davis, but not before words were exchanged. The victim told police he was approached by Davis and several others while walking back to his home. A male suspect in the group allegedly shot the victim in the buttocks on orders from Davis. Damn, she ordered the hit?
Ha ha, like a boss.
The victim attempted to grab the gun, but was allegedly struck in the mouth by a second woman during an ensuing struggle. Newark police arrested Davis several hours after the shooting. Henderson said she now faces charges of aggravated assault, possession of a weapon, unlawful possession of a weapon, and conspiracy. Investigation is ongoing, with police continuing to search for the remaining suspects. Guess the race of Shakira Davis. Chat room. Let's see what they believe Shakira Davis's race is. One of Beyonce's backup dancers. Granny, no, black. I'll give him a couple more seconds.
Yeah, it's a delay.
Yeah. White woman on black man violence, the hidden tragedy. Black, opposite color of snow. Well, the correct answer is black. Couple of y'all missed it. Damn, man. Just shot that motherfucking ass. I wonder if she said shoot him in the ass or just shoot him, you know?
Everybody said shoot him.
Shoot him in the ass. Like, that's a boss move right there. Bonus round.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race in the bonus round of Guess the Race. So far, everybody is mostly one for one. Let's see if they can keep the streak going. Claremont daycare director caught on camera abusing a child.
Oh, shit.
I don't know what's been going on at the daycares this year, but 2016 starting off with
the doors are locked on dang. A Claremont daycare today, and the director of the daycare is locked up in the Lake County Jail. We first showed you yesterday the cell phone video that recorded her throwing a child to the ground. Channel 9's Kimberly Eaton has been checking with police to see if any other parents have come forward with concerns for their children. And Kim, so far, this appears to be an isolated incident.
Holy cow.
Of this afternoon, Claremont police tell me that there is only one victim, but you can see behind us here the result of that abuse that was caught on camera inside this Claremont daycare. The playground here is empty, and in the 8 hours that went outside this building, not a single child or parent has shown up. The woman in charge of protecting kids inside Children's Palace Learning Center is now accused of child abuse. This video shows why. That's the director of Claremont Daycare hitting a four-year-old with stuffed animals, then picking him up and throwing him onto the ground.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
I'd kill him.
She slammed that little motherfucker. Oh, shout out to the old girl saying she would kill her, though. I noticed that. That's a crime, too.
As a mom, I'm sorry.
Parents like Trisha Ramos reacted not just in front of our cameras, but online. Outraged over the cell phone video we first posted to our WFTV Facebook page less than 24 hours ago. It shows 41-year-old Kimberly
Holy
Reed
shit.
Committing the crime that coworkers eventually reported to DCF. They say this kind of abuse went on for 3 weeks. Police say Reed tried to defend the behavior as rough play.
It's very disturbing to watch a video like that. You know, it almost makes you sick to your stomach to think that somebody could do something like that to a four-year-old child.
Court records show Reed was already on probation for a 2004 welfare fraud case and a 2012 grand theft case. One of those involves stealing from another daycare. As for this daycare, it's closed and will stay that way for now. DCF says the owner plans to give up her license and sell the business.
I wouldn't want anybody to bring their kids here now.
Wow.
And we're told the four-year-old in that video is doing okay. I spoke with his father briefly today, but with that video viewed hundreds of thousands of times on our website alone, he says at this point he just wants to protect his son's privacy. Reporting live in Lake County, wow. Kimberly Eaton, Eyewitness News, this afternoon.
So, guess the race of Kimberly Marie Reed.
Wow.
How did she get hired?
I don't know. And like, if y'all seen the video, y'all could see why that lady was like, I would kill her, because that baby bounced off the ground like a goddamn a rubber ball.
Yeah, she slammed that little baby down and hit him with some stuffed animals like they were belts.
Right. 3 weeks.
EJ Hayes says black. Nina says privilege. Gronk Spike White. White still got a business loan with white collar crime white. Bill Romanowski's niece white and Blanco. The correct answer white. The correct answer is white. And I think one person said black, did they? Did somebody say black?
I don't know. Let's see. Did somebody say black?
I can't remember now.
Yes, they did. The very
okay.
first one.
Yeah, so you missed it. Person who said black. Boo you. Oh, man. I'm trying to get a picture to pop up. I'll see if I can do it one more time. There we go. Here's her picture if you guys want to see what she looks like. And now let's go to the Sword Ratchetness program, part portion of the program. And that's why you sit your ass down at the daycare, okay, baby?
Get your sword. I'm paid to watch you.
Pull my weapons out like I'm Elon James and you contract working on my house. Mm-mm. Police arrest 13 men for vicious samurai sword attack. 13?
Woo!
It was Jesus and his disciples?
This is Naruto and the clan. What happened?
Police arrest 13 men village. In a series of raids last night after two men were brutally attacked with samurai swords in Batu Cave, Selangor. In the early hours of Thursday morning, the Star Online reported Selangor's CID chief, Datuk Maud Adnan Abdullah, saying the men aged 21 to 44 were arrested after the two victims were set upon in Taman Samudra. Well, of course. We all know you can't have your ass out in Taman Samudra with all them swords.
I think I was right. It was a Leaf Village.
The ferocity of the attack left both victims seriously wounded, one of whom is in critical condition in the intensive care unit at Selayang Hospital. We still don't know what the motive of the attack was. We also didn't find any weapons during the raids, Maud Adnan said, adding the suspects will be remanded on suspicion of assault with a deadly weapon. Well, there you go, guys. Took 13 people with swords to fight two people.
13, dog.
Just because they own swords doesn't mean they fight fair. We'll be back tomorrow.
I knew.
We'll be back tomorrow, guys, because we do fight fair. I hope you enjoyed the show, mm-hmm. and hope y'all are going to enjoy Supergirl tonight.
Yes.
Remember, Cam Newton lost the Super Bowl, but Beyonce still won the Super Bowl. And that's what we have to remember. And congratulations to the Denver defense and Peyton Manning. I've always liked Peyton Manning. Always had a soft spot for that dude. Really thought that he didn't get the credit he deserved for being, probably the most intelligent quarterback I've ever seen play the position.
I give you that, yes.
And I always thought that his postseason failures, quote unquote, were completely overrated and overhyped. And people saying he can't win the big game and shit. A lot of that is just luck and fortune. And this is the ultimate example of this. This is a Super Bowl that he pretty much had nothing to do with winning.
Nope.
But he definitely didn't lose it for his team.
Right.
And I'm sure he'll take that ring and enjoy finally getting the carved the turkey at Thanksgiving dinner. So congratulations to the Broncos, class organization, other than John Elway's son beating up that girl. Aww. And other than Peyton Manning and the PEDs.
Yeah, we'll find about that in probably a few more weeks.
Class organization and also proof of the fact that a lot of times the team that goes to the Super Bowl wins it is the team that got there before and lost, and everybody wanted to come back and understand the urgency of playing in that game for a second time. So, all right, guys, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.